You see, what's happening is we're feeding misinformation into our mind and our being most of the time. The world and the bullshit of the world is, we have come to believe it. And so we're feeding in misinformation and then acting on misinformation. All the three principles do is that you're feeding in the good stuff, and then common sense is obvious.
Du lyssnar på Human Change med mig, Daniel Magnusson. And I will switch to English right away, because today I have an English-speaking guest, and he's an original student of Sydney Banks and been involved in the three principles for a long time. And he has, as I see it, the way I got to know Harry by listening to his podcast, Addiction, Alcohol, and the Three Principles, over the last year. And I found it very interesting, because as I see it, Harry comes from a more spiritual view of the three principles, or in this case also a lot of addiction. And we will look into the healing in addiction via the three principles today. So, Harry Dobrytsky, thank you and welcome for taking the time. Welcome for taking the time, but thank you for coming and welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and I hope we have a good time together.
Yeah, I'm sure we will have. So you have a long experience of the three principles and also in the addiction, and but you also...
Well, that's not totally true. I have a long history with a connection to Sydney Banks and him speaking the truth.
Yeah.
And accessing your spiritual wisdom. So the three principles are an evolution from Salt Spring Island. He didn't really talk about the three principles back then. And then, although I remained a very good friend of Sydney Banks, when the psychologist came, and which attracted so many of the people who are interested in the three principles now, I went a different way. It wasn't for me. And you mentioned one of the reasons was I had heard Sid and liked his spiritual approach to life. And I, on Salt Spring Island, I had an experience where I experienced oneness and silence for about 5 minutes. In other words, my mind stopped. And for 5 minutes, I was in silence and in oneness. And then after that, I knew life was spiritual. It's one thing to hear it from Sid, but it's another thing to experience it inside, because it's an experiential insight that reveals to you God. When Sid talks about going inside, he's really talking about going inside with being God. And I could relate to that oneness. I could relate to that feeling, because oneness, in Sid's words, would be love. But he understood that a lot of people didn't understand the word God. They had a lot of concept. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand the word love. And of course, you're Swedish, so the sexual connotation is going to come in there. And so he didn't, of course, the whole world really, but Swedish is so famous. And just for your information, I lived in Denmark and have been to Denmark 8 times.
Fairly close to Sweden.
I understand the Scandinavian feeling. So that's what captured the people on Salt Spring, the original Salt Spring. It wasn't the psychological stuff at all. And he mostly just talked about watch your beliefs. So it wasn't and he talked about thought, but he talked about the spiritual nature of thought. Mm-hmm. So he started there, and the psychologists kind of end there. type of thing. That's a pretty big gap, really, when you look at where he starts and where they end. You know, mm-hmm. they end where he starts, and he soars. And so we didn't understand what he was talking about at all. We just listened for a feeling and tried to shut up this busy mind of ours. You know, he'd be talking and I'd be distracted by some obsolete thought. And then I go, am I crazy? Here's Sidney Banks, the enlightened being, is speaking. And I'm thinking about, you know, my groceries or something like that. You know, yeah, and then you would come back. But it was a feeling. And that spiritual feeling is what I learned to follow. Mm. And within that, when the psychologist came, this is very important. I really emphasize, you have to find your own way. Do not become a follower of the three principles. Yes, embrace the understanding and the experience of that, because they flow right through you. Mm-hmm. But to follow words, you're full. You're not very deep. You haven't got it. What you've got is you've learned to follow a paradigm that's better than what the world has. Mm. That's not what Sid was talking about. He was talking about it's inside you. So every time I heard something when I was in Sid, with Sid, he would immediately point to me and say, that's coming from you, Harry, that feeling. Not from me, because I'm the teacher and the guru or the sage or whatever. It's coming from me. And I misinterpret that quite a bit. That was hard for me to realize. I saw, while I was in his company, incredible energy. You have never felt energy like that, Daniel. Mm. I know you know about great energy, and I know you've... It's really something when you're just around Sid, and it's not like an ordinary guy. He is an ordinary guy, but he's tapped into the God eye link. You know, he's in that, and that energy just, so I associated that energy with him. Big ego trip, big mm-hmm. problem for me. And so when the psychologist came, I simply went a different way. I didn't like what they were talking about. It seemed to have a lot of problems. They were solving problems. What do I want to talk to people about that for? So I went into the indigenous Indian world and started to work with those people and get more into the mystical side of truth or of spirit. And he said to me, this is very, really important. He said, don't use mind, thought, and consciousness when you're working with the indigenous people. Use spirit, thought, and consciousness. Don't use mind. Mind's for the psychologists. Mm-hmm. Spirit is for the indigenous or for the people. So that's where, when you start to mention, well, Harry talks more about the spiritual nature of addiction and the spiritual nature of thought, you know, that's what I talk about. Mm. And what happens is because I'm not dealing with the problems and I'm not teaching the way the psychologists are teaching, I'm having easy results. A client is caught in the heaviest benzos, which is an opiate, and the heaviest of all the heaviest. And she's been on it for 3 years, and the maximum you're supposed to be on it are 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And she's on it. And she's been on it since she's 13, and she's already in her 40s with other drugs. And she's been on for anxiety. Well, the truth is, anxiety is a piece of cake. Really easy to handle. But of course, the world considers it to be the number one problem in the world right now. Anxiety. Everybody's talking about anxiety. So she contacted me, and I knew so much about benzos that I had to write to Bill Bennett, Bill Pettit, and said, what are they? That's how much I knew about them. And that's what I know about addiction. I know not much. I never was addicted. I never took a psychology course. I have no background in it. I knew I didn't like it, you know. And so we met for 2 1.5-hour meetings. And all we talked about was the spiritual nature of thought. That's all. We never talked about addiction. And she was off it. And then 2 weeks later, she went to see her psychiatrist. And she said, he says, how are you doing? She said, well, I'm off it. He says, that's impossible. Nobody gets off these. And she says, well, I'm off it. And then she tries to teach him. And I say, oh, that was a mistake. They want to hear the old paradigm. Yeah. They want to hear that stuff. And that's the problem that we have when you get into the spiritual nature. And that's why psychology has been so successful with the three principles, because it deals directly with a little result, you know, type of thing. Anyone who's addicted, you don't care about getting off addiction. Oh, yeah, you say you do. You want to be happy and content when you get off addiction. Yeah. You want to grow as a human being and get closer to your connection to God. You don't want, what is my connection? How does this world work, type of thing? You know, and what am I, just a physical being? Well, we know that's not true. We know right now you and I are connected. I could think that I'm the guest, but that's nonsense. I'm not the guest. We are sharing a space. And that space, whether you talk or not, directly affects what I say. Directly affects what I say. And it affects the whole world and every other person in the world. It's all part of the thing. See, life just started with one thought. And it's been a continuation of that same single thought. On and on and on. You could say, well, I listened to Harry. Something resonated within me. That thought just, and I contacted him, and now we're talking. It's just one thought. Just one continual thought. And we're pretending it isn't. We're pretending we here now, be here now, which is absolutely the answer to everything, be in the now. It doesn't mean now. It's a continuum. Now, 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 now. It means no thought. Yeah. And it's just a continuum. And so what happens on this show affects not only your world and the domino effect that happens in your world, but it affects everybody. Your consciousness, as it grows, naturally, you're selfish. You want to be happy. Because if you're not happy, you're not living a God existence. You're just simply living a physical existence or a mental existence, or maybe even a financially successful existence. But you're a loser. You're a loser. You don't have this unlimited potential. So to take this unlimited potential, so I had the greatest opportunity on Salt Spring Island, and I was a good friend to Sid's, not the best friend, but really a good friend, and his son's best friend, and I knew, everybody knew me and stuff. And then I kind of dropped out. They all went into the psychology way, and I went into the indigenous way. I listened to my feelings, Daniel, not where the crowd was going. And then at 69, I'm living from 65 to 69, and I'm not doing all this stuff that I'm doing now. And I'm not having the results that I'm having now. And from 65 to 69, I just got content. I had no money. I had no, you know, a very simple little life. And I just got happy and content. And as I got happy and content, at 69, I had a talk with God. Now, you got to remember, I have an indigenous background, so I talk to God differently than most people understand. I'm a pipe carrier. I'm a man of the spirit. The indigenous people respect who I am. I don't talk three principles. I talk spirit. They're not interested in three principles. They're interested in spirit and how it makes them happy. So you talk like that type of stuff. And at 69, I had a talk with God. This is a true story. And I said, God, I've really got no complaints. Life's a piece of cake. Everybody's running around trying to do stuff. And I'm just having easy, simple life with do whatever I want and really beautiful. But I'm getting a little bored. I wouldn't mind sharing a little bit. Next morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, I get up, phone rings. A guy says, Harry, 10 years ago, you taught me something. And I've worked with the heavily addicted. Vancouver has a huge addiction and homeless area. It's right on the ocean type of thing. And I work right on the worst part of all of that. I've got this little itsy bitsy contract. And I've been offered another job. Will you take it over? Well, I go, ooh, I hate addiction. Yuck, but I hadn't realized I had changed.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I was trying to fix their problem. And so I said, okay, I'll try it. Because I had just had this talk with God. I figured, well, normally I would have said, nah, I'm not even interested. But it seemed like maybe a clue, maybe I'm not as dumb as I look type of thing. And I went, and it was fabulous. I had changed. I was no longer talking to them about addiction and their problems. I was talking to them about spirit and happiness. And there was lots of laughter. I have a lot of bad jokes. Bad jokes lift the spirit. And I thought, well, I wonder if they're interested in talking spiritual. Well, turns out, Daniel, they're a lot more spiritual than most of the people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
They've been altered substances, and they've been suffering, man. And they want to find an answer. Like, they're not stupid, you know. They know they're addicted. They know they go off it for 3 weeks or a month, and then all of a sudden they go back on it again, all their money, they're back on the street, and then they have to come back to the rehab center again and, you know, start all over again. They don't like it. They it's not the type of life they want. Yeah. But there's no answers. 12 steps has a big 5% success rate. It's a disease. And you're talking to the health of the people and the spirit of the people. And they knew a lot about the spirit. And once they started talking about what they knew, guess how they felt?
And they content.
They started to see the answer.
Yeah.
And one guy, so I'm just starting, and there's one guy there, you know, it's volunteer for them to come to listen to these things, but they get points if they come, you know.
Okay.
I'm talking, and one of the guys, after about the third session, has a huge insight. He sees his connection to God. Well, he leaves the recovery place and goes to a fancier place, a rehab place. We have a procession in Canada, and so I start working there. Because they see the results of what has happened to him. And before I knew it, it just started flooding in. Now, here's something I want people to understand. I know it sounds harsh and maybe negative against 3P. And it is. It is. So just to let you know, I'm not all the time with 3P, you know, type of stuff, you know, that type of. So I have built my reputation in the indigenous world. And I was the only person in it. And Sid said, oh, you're smarty pants. You found a niche. I said, you know, because nobody else won't. What? The only problem with it is that nobody in 3P wanted to talk about it because they didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. All they understood was their 3P jargon and the way they worked with the psychological community. But these people were different. They think different. They live different. And they're much deeper in silence than the white people are or the non-Indigenous people. They really understand silence. And they really understand spirit, which is mind. They really understand mind. And our world doesn't understand that type of stuff. So I said, oh, I can't talk to 3P people about this. They don't get it. They think they understand, but they don't get it. They're a million miles away. So I said, oh, I can't talk to them about it. They're just asleep. And they were and are, you know, type of thing. But then I got into addiction. Oh, everybody wanted to talk to me. That's a number one social problem. It's psychological. Oh, it was all of a sudden everybody wanted to talk to me about it. But the thing was, I wasn't talking the same thing that they were talking about. Let's face it, psychology and spiritual are the same thing when they're connected together. Yeah. There's no difference. But if you start from a psychological point, it has a little bit different feel than if you start at a spiritual point. Mm. It has a different type. So what happened was, as all of a sudden, all these explosions. So at 69, I'm in a field that I have no background in. I have never taken a course in it or psychology ever. I never will. Why waste my time? I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't need someone to tell me. But I don't know, you know, now you can talk about it type of thing.
Yeah.
So I just followed the feeling. And a tap opened up at 69. So literally, that's when my new life and everything that I'm going to talk about started. Nothing before 69. Basically, I did what I'm doing now. And I'm doing a ton of stuff and more than most people realize and type of thing. And then I heard this guy on a show, and one of the icons, big names, answered a question that he asked, and I said, that person doesn't know the answer. They're bullshitting him. But they get away with that because everyone believes them. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't follow Harry. Follow your own feeling, and you'll find what you want. Follow Harry, and I guarantee you're going to be disappointed. Mm. Very, very disappointed. Because you sold out. And that's what Sid hated. He didn't want me to be a puppet. He wanted me to go inside, experience the God I am. And that's what going inside is. And operate from my own understanding and feelings. Then you don't need other people. You don't need books. You follow. So I just followed it. It took me. So I phoned this guy up because I figured, well, he at least needs a real answer. And he thinks I'm on the make. More money, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. He's getting a lot of people trying to hustle him for money and stuff like that. But I wasn't. I just wanted to give him the answer, expected him to be 2 or 3 minutes on the Zoom and goodbye. But we hit it off. So we started addiction. He was a subject matter expert. He was a big alcoholic who had a spiritual insight. Before he was introduced to the three principles. Oh my God, how could that be?
Yeah, of course. And, it's possible.
Yeah. And then he came to the three principles. Oh, there's a language to describe what I experience spiritually. That's what it is. Mm. It's a language to explain to you what your insight his and that you can use to explain to other people. And the good news is there's no studying because they're formless. They're timeless. They're shapeless. There's nothing to get hold of. Unfortunately, the good news is that's the good news. You don't have anything to hold on to except the truth. They're a fact. They're a rock. But you can't feel them, taste them, smell them, think them. You can't do that and be in the principles. And when you go into that feeling, when you take a client into that feeling, they don't become a client. They become a sharer of energy, a mutual sharing of mind. And guess what happens? Healing. So they heal. Just like that lady, she met she could have gone to 50, she'd been to 50,000 sessions. In addiction, it's very normal for a person to spend $80,000 to $150,000 for recovery, and it doesn't work. Of course, it's a disease, or you're going to have it for the rest, or it's difficult. It's an urge that you can't control. I'm sorry, people. You have a lot of urges. You need understanding. You raise your level of consciousness. You go inside and you see the truth. The truth will set you free. Addiction is just an expression like anxiety is, or temper, anger, or revenge, or serial killer, or whatever you want to come. They're all just effects of an unbalanced mind. A mind that is unwise, who is using thought in an unwise way. And then they go, oh, I have free will to think whatever I want. And Sid said, when that's the problem. And also the solution, Daniel.
Definitely the amazing thing that we actually have the possibility to think, and also that possibility to choose. But as I see it, when we don't see that we have an option, then it's so easy for us to feel like cornered. And
that's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, and what I just want to share with that is when we see that how everything is, as I say, created moment to moment. And if we interpret the things that we think and we believe that something outside is actually, as I see, creating that inside of us, we will try to find solutions.
You see, what's happening is we're feeding misinformation into our mind and our being most of the time. The world and the bullshit of the world is, we have come to believe it. And so we're feeding in misinformation and then acting on misinformation. All the three principles do is that you're feeding in the good stuff, and then common sense is obvious. If you have a clear mind, obviously you're going to see better than when if it's all muddled up with a lot of thinking. So I did a talk with Dr. Amy Johnson, a psychologist who's in addiction. And my topic was all problems are caused by overthinking. All problems. Addiction, overthinking. Sexual desires, lust, overthinking.
Stress.
Stress,
depression,
depression and anxiety, etc. It's schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, as you mentioned. I do a group. It's a closed group, mostly mostly from England. It's called Mental Health Transformations. I'm the lead coach. It's only by invitation that the people can come. And they have all the acute depressions, anxieties, physical addiction, all cured. I'm the lead coach. I don't know anything about mental illness. I don't know anything about it. I've never been diagnosed with it. I don't know anything about it. But I know a lot about healing.
Mm.
That's all I teach them.
Mm.
I teach them to go to a higher space, and then they doctor themselves. And after they doctor themselves, they are the fruit to prove that this works. But nobody will listen. Nobody. Nobody in 3P. Nobody outside of 3P. They won't listen. Because they're following rote. They're not hearing. Like you would think. I've done maybe 30 podcasts with one of them. They don't hear it. They say, oh, this is great. It's just another story. It's another podcast. We're entertainment. Oh, it's a great. But then they just don't get it. They don't hear. I'm going, I can understand why you wouldn't listen to me. I don't say this to them. But the fruit, the proof, horrible, you know, schizophrenic and acute depression and pain and chronic fatigue where you can't get out of bed and all gone. And the person is settled down and living a productive and creative life, can't hear it.
Mm.
How come, Daniel? How come?
Yeah, I think we people are getting so bombarded with the message that transformation in some kind of way is hard. And as I say, when I talk to clients about transformation compared to change or transformation, we usually compare it with the physical world. I mean, if I'm going to train my muscles, it's going to take time. It's going to hurt sometimes also. But the transformation shift is going instant.
Well, it actually, in most cases, it goes, we have these big transformations will be, but a lot of it is step by step.
Yeah.
It's like remember how I talked about thought? It's just one thought, but it's continuing. So see what happens is once you go inside, it's the beginning of your journey. And they think it's the end of their journey. They think, oh, I have this beautiful feeling. Well, of course you have this beautiful feeling. You've dropped all this negativity and you've stepped into a spiritual positive feeling.
Mm.
Well, that's love. You stepped into more love and you start to love yourself more, but you get addicted to the attachment of that feeling. Mm. And you have a lot of crazy ideas about what enlightenment is, a lot of crazy ideas what spiritual is, and we have to be this way and that way. Well, Sid was an ordinary guy. He wasn't that way. But boy, when he talked, he was that way.
Mm.
When he knew, but he was just an ordinary guy who happened to have a fluke experience. Yeah. Well, if he had a fluke experience, what did we have? And so it took me at 27, I was on Salt Spring, and at 69, the penny kind of dropped. It was a step-by-step process.
Yeah.
And listen to me, I went through divorce, bankruptcy, a loss of all the prestige with the 3P community, etc. was all developing skills that I needed that at 69, it just all came together.
Hmm.
I didn't lose anything by doing that. I just simply appeared in my head to be stuck.
Yeah.
I wasn't stuck. because of that first spiritual experience I had on Salt Spring Island. It's spiritual, so I never lost my positive feeling. I never lost my positive hope. And I never expected so much success. But beyond my wildest dreams, I never expected that. But at a certain point, it just was a tipping point. And it just, that talk with God. And God said, oh, he's ready. Because he asked. You see, one of the things with addiction that they're really lying about in the 3P, you need to do a conscious act. But it's not a willpower act. It's a non-willpower. It's an inside out where you, the four stages that I wrote in my, I've got two books on addiction. Mm-hmm. Since I don't know anything about it, it's amazing that I could write two books on the book.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Must know something, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in the second book, I said, well, they don't want to just hear it's love and spiritual. They're dumb. They want something to hold on to, you know. So I gave them four steps that you hold on to. First thing, hope. Without hope, nothing's going to happen in addiction or in any other problem. And in this book, the first book is about addiction. So if a person has addiction problem, they should read book one. But if they want to know how to alleviate their suffering and how to get into being one with God, they should read book two. It's because that addiction book is about, it's just a metaphor for alleviating all suffering, all suffering, not just addiction. All suffering. It's the same answer. The same answer. So they need hope. The second thing is you have to experience a positive feeling. Now, in some cases, that's all they need to have. Few people can just get that positive feeling and say, delicious. I don't want, and they just understand it. They just experience it and that's enough. But mostly people have a good feeling and let it go. Go back into the past, into the pattern and stuff. So the third step is you have to have an understanding of what you have experienced, how that positive feeling happened and what it is, type of thing. Example, in the indigenous world, you go and do a sweat lodge, which is a spiritual ceremony. People come in really troubled. Really troubled, just like in 3P, you know, really troubled. And they go in and experience four rounds and they're healed. They experience the spirit and they look, come out 20 years younger. They look at, they're healed. And then they start talking about the same bullshit they did before they went into the lodge. Mm. And within 20 minutes, they've lost the feeling. You see, they didn't see what happened. They just experienced the feeling. It healed them, but they didn't get any understanding from it. So if they didn't see what they experienced, they can't apply it. And the whole teaching of the sweat lodge is whatever you experience inside the lodge, you have to take it out and apply it outside of the lodge in your day-to-day life. So that's step three, the understanding. And if you complain about the three principles and taking you down after you've been up, it's because you don't know something. There's something you are fooling yourself about. Watch your beliefs. They're full of nonsense. They're going to misguide you. And if you think it's a sweet world out there, good luck. Enjoy the being a fool. And so that's step. But step four requires a conscious act inside out where you take a step. And when you do that, God says, he's a big boy now. Wish granted. He's off. Now, some people just have a spiritual experience and do all four steps at once. Lucky. Lucky. But I don't actually do those four steps. I wouldn't waste my time following some kind of ritual or schedule. I just wrote it in there so people would have something to grab hold of.
Yeah.
It's true what I just said, but it's intellectual.
Mm.
You capture a feeling inside yourself, and you find a feeling better than the alcohol, better than the depression, better than the anger. And because it's a better feeling, we're trained, we're built to follow the best feeling we know. If the best feeling you have is cocaine, where are you going to go when you're a little bummed out?
Cocaine.
And if your best feeling is a spiritual feeling inside, and you know that's true, that feeling, and you know you can't hold on to it, you have to let it go. And once you have that feeling, see, Sid said two steps. First step, got to be selfish. You got to get it for yourself. But once you got it for yourself, step two is you got to share it. You can't hold on to it. That's what you're doing. You notice how much you're growing from sharing?
Yeah. And I grow both sharing and listening to for you, for example, but also people I coach and hear they talk.
Yeah.
So it's, as you say, that it's a continuing thinking or thought. That's right. Continuing but, thought.
Yeah. But you have to, if you want to grow, you have to share.
Hmm.
It's the law. And that's what I figured out. See, I had a spiritual feeling. And then one day I said, as my level went, you know the difference between a high level and a low level? I'm going to tell you. High level, you say yes all the time. No, low level, you say, I'm going to think about it, and the answer is going to be no. Mm-hmm. So everyone said, let me think about it. Now, sometimes you have to, but most of the time, you're wasting your time. You're just getting into the form, the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, higher level just says, I got a good feeling. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. Follow the flow or.
Yeah, follow the flow.
Yeah.
Follow the feeling.
Yeah.
Follow the spirit. Follow the energy. Follow the vibe. Everybody is energy. Forget about the form. Forget about how people look. You know, the most beautiful thing about working with indigenous people and people who are addicted and stuff, they look the shits. But the trouble is they're not really, really deep, deep people. They were oversensitive, they dropped through the cracks because they were too creative.
Yeah, and I guess it also, for example, if you are having an addiction or a lot of anxiety or depression or anything, they of course have been looking so much for a solution.
Yeah. But the problem is, Daniel, there is no solutions.
No.
Except for spirit or truth or, and there's truth beyond three principles. But you see, what's Sid's gift? First, he put them in a package. But the reality, as I look at other enlightened beings and stuff, they weren't just click the. See, he's just, in my mind, this is my opinion, he's just an evolution of other enlightened people. When Christ came into the world, religion, spirit was what people understood. So religion, he became the three principles of religion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the indigenous world, it became Father, Mother, and the spirit within the three principles of indigenous world, not the son, the mother. Mother That's their way. When Sid came into the picture, especially when the psychologist came, but before that, he got clearer than anybody else about thought, spiritual and psychological thought. See, three principles are our spiritual psychology. That's what the three principles are. Mm. They're not a psychology. They're a spiritual psychology. A heavy dose of spiritual. Heavy dose, because that's where all the healing is. Mm. And that's what our topic is. Where's the healing? The healing is before form. Sid would say before time, space, and matter. In the nothingness is where you take your clients. In there, they will experience original thought. And what's original thought? It's God's thought. And is it different than your thought? Not really. It's just we with free will can put whatever contents we want into this escalator that's passing by. Mm. And so we put bullshit in it. And then we talk about bullshit. That's the problem with psychology. It starts with the bullshit. I'm telling you, if you want to grow, Daniel, don't start there. Yeah, they want to talk about that. That's why you don't talk about it at first. You want to get their mind off it. You know, people say, well, how, you know, what do you do to do that? Well, I be Harry. Harry. And how does Harry do it? Not like Daniel. Harry has a lot of bad jokes, really stupid, bad jokes. The only trouble is they laugh. And once they laugh.
The only trouble, yeah.
It's hard to go back to the bum. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a quick thing. The other thing is I'm very comfortable with people very quickly, you know, so I don't do all that other stuff that they do. And third, I don't like talking about I like to talk with people who can soar, who can fly into the unlimited potential that they are, and who care about this oneness. Sid always talked about oneness. Always. That was his main topic. You want people, that's where the healing is, in this oneness. We're all the same. We're all interconnected. We all want to share love. And when I feel love, I don't know how it's helping me. I don't know where it's helping me. All I know is it's helping me. It's healing. So once you experience that space with your clients, Daniel, you don't care about the problem. Yeah, find your own unique way to share. So that's what I do. I go into areas that 3P is not in. So addiction, alcohol, yeah, they were in it. Psychologically, but not spiritually. So Greg and I just broke the mold. We started talking about all these topics that they weren't talking about. We weren't doing that. We were actually what's on the people's minds and what do they want to hear. And let's deal with AA, you know, and let's bring talks in about that and talk about all these things that they want to hear. And so the show has views and we haven't done the show now for over a year. We did a reunion, we're still getting over 100,000 views.
Mm.
Pretty good, eh?
Yeah, really good.
For an out not conforming to what 3P wants to hear. And I then created podcasts, which you heard, and in a year and a half, we've had 32,000 downloads. I'm not saying it's a million, but it's a success story. And then after we stopped that, I just knew there'd be new stuff coming. It was time to stop it. Greg and I both in the same day realized it's over. We're not going to do this. But we've done a reunion, just a couple of shows, just for fun. But the whole platform is more alive now than before because of the podcasts and creating all this stuff, you know. And I love playing with the technology and stuff. That's one of the skills I acquired, type of thing. And then I say, well, I know something else is going to come. So I do a volunteer thing, sort of pre-heartfelt presence type of thing. And this guy from Morocco, we start talking. So I start coaching him. And then he's in Morocco. I'm in Canada. And I say to him, well, you'll pay me in spiritual currency. I know he doesn't have, you know, and I'm happy with that. You know, at my stage of life, I'm here interested in sharing. I'm not interested in money, you know, type of, if people want to pay me money, some of them do, let them, you know, it's okay with me, but I don't care. I do a ton of pro bono stuff. And see, I'm in a different age, but I'm 75. You're a lot younger. So you have different concerns than I have, type of thing. But the real concern is I don't give a poop about the money. And that's the truth. And I don't let that even touch the picture. But some people are not comfortable unless they pay me. Okay, I don't mind. And, you know, sometimes they pay me too much. What am I supposed to do? Fight with them? You know, you know, type of, you know, so I say, you'll pay me in spiritual currency. He says, well, why don't we do a show with the Muslim community? So now we have a 75-year-old Jew, a 27-year-old Muslim. You know, the Jews and the Muslims get along so well together. It's just a marriage made in heaven right there. And we started to shows in the Muslim community. We've been doing it for a year and a half. And slow, not like the rocket ship that addiction was, slow. But we just kept the quality of the show high. And it just kept moving and penetrating the Muslim community. Of course, you notice that how many blacks and Muslims there are in the theater. It was all white. That was bullshit. That's the 3P prejudice, going after the money because that's where the bucks are, type of stuff. And that was taught by Americans, the top icon Americans in the 3P community. And everybody followed like, bah, sheep, type of thing. No offense, I'm telling you, but I'm tired of all this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? And so all of a sudden, addiction, it's Muslim, and call it Tawhid, spiritual unity of the three principles. Every show is unique, different than anything anyone is doing in 3P. Of course, most people aren't interested in the Muslim community, you know, except to kiss it a little bit and stuff. You know, it's only the fastest growing religion in the world, type of thing. You know, it's obviously, they have such a big spiritual presence. It's so beautiful. And then I start, you know, people coming to me, you know, with anxiety, as I mentioned. So this guy has depression and stuff. And so we start meeting once a week. Then I have another guy. So we do two. And then before you know it, I have a group called Mental Health Transformations. I never expected to have a group in that. I'm not, you know, that's not my area. But experiences, miracles started happening.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it. I don't do miracles. I can't do miracles. I can help people lighten up. I can help people get their mind off their problems. I can point them to where love is.
It's more like guiding and point, as you say, an experience both for our self miracles and then some in some kind of way see when other people experiencing their own miracle.
That's what Sid was turned on by.
Mm.
The miracle. He was excited by what he had experienced because he experienced the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw, well, if a dummy like me, and he was the dummy, like me can experience this thing, should be a piece of cake. I'll just say a few words and the whole world will just gobble it up. But it didn't work out like that.
Wow.
And then that's when he wrote in his unpublished autobiography, he said, I did not pick psychology. It picked me.
Yeah.
And I know what he means. I did not pick addiction. It picked me. I did not pick indigenous. It picked me. I did not pick the Muslim community. It picked me. And I did not pick mental health, which, theoretically, never even taken a course in it, let alone, be the lead coach in it. But with the three principles, that's the message I want people to understand. You don't need a background.
Yeah.
You're not talking about the description. You're talking about the healing. That's all you care about is the healing. And the more you heal yourself, the easier it is to show people what healing is. And if you're dissatisfied with yourself, just a thought, guys. Come on. You know better. Just a thought. Give it up and get back into the feeling. Everything Sid is talking about, everything, the three principles, the spiritual, it's all one thing. Change thought. Just change thought, but not intellectually, not picking an apple versus an orange type of thing. Something inside out. Change thought. When you see that, guess what happens? What happens when that negative thought changes?
Experience changes.
Your faith is different. Your destiny is different. And the best part of all, the thing you care the most, your feeling is different. You don't give a poop that Harry's happy. Don't give me a break. I know you don't care. You care about you being happy. I don't care about Sid being happy. I'm glad he was happy. I'm glad he was wise. But I was kind of wanting some of that for myself.
Mm.
That's where I wasn't really, I mean, it was great to be around this inspiration and this different way of living and thinking and stuff. But he was just telling me, Harry, have a good time. One time, I'm in Hawaii with my past wife. Sid and Barb and Mary, Barb is his first wife before she had her brain aneurysm and died suddenly. And they're in the back car. Sid's got earphones on, and he's going like this, bouncing up and down, like grooving to the music. And I'm looking back, trying to figure out what he's trying to tell me. He's telling me to loosen up. You're not going to get anything being serious and being ambitious. Things will happen when spirit lets you. Yeah. Period. But you have a role to play. I'm going to teach you something really important right now, Daniel. You have a role to play. I learned this not from Sid Banks or the three principles. I learned this in a ceremony I did in the indigenous world. And the spirit said to me, I said to the spirit, well, how come I'm not helping more indigenous people? How come? Like I'm putting out all this effort, I'm kind of disappointed. And the spirit said to me, Daniel, this is pearls now. You do your best and we'll take care of the rest. And that's the way it works, people. You do your best. You know if you're doing your best. You don't have to do any better than that. And if it doesn't work out and you've done your best, you hold your head up high. But the thing is, most of the time it works out because you did your best. Mm. It's only when you compromise that. And then you have patience. My God, do you have to have everything now?
Yeah, I think that is so, so true. How we think, it's like we think it's supposed to take a certain time, like a fixed time. We don't know.
We took 27, I'm on the island, 69, the penny drops. It dropped different stages. I'm not suggesting
that. Of course.
But I'm talking about my whole life changed at 69. My whole life. I'm 6 years into the three principles. Really, you know, type of thing. But of course, I've been into the three principles from the day I was born. You listen to your feelings, Daniel, and trust your instincts. You can't go wrong. Your instincts are what God is sending us as a direct message to your heart.
Thank you very much, Harry. Enjoy the beach, and I will get back to you. And I will, of course, put all the contact details in the information of the, in the program.
And put my two books as well, since, you know.
Absolutely. The books also, Evolution of Addiction Recovery and Evolution of Addiction Recovery Reopened.
Yeah, that's right. Book two.
Yes. Book two.
So see you later, pal.
See you later. Thank you very much and have a nice day at the beach.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Tack snälla för att du har lyssnat på den här podcasten. Skulle det vara så att du vill sätta ett betyg för att du lyssnar på iTunes, är du mer än välkommen såklart att gå in och göra det. Sätt det betyg du tycker att den här podcasten förtjänar. Skriv gärna en kommentar. Är det så att du vill komma i kontakt med mig så kan du alltid gå in på humanchange.se eller skicka mig ett mejl på daniel@humanchange.se. Ha det fantastiskt.